Hi, this is the voice, Michael Schiavello. You're listening to the Premium Oddscast, hosted by leading MMA odds maker Nick Kalikas, fight scientist and author of Fightnomics, Reid Kuhn, and MMA journalist Brian Heminger. The absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting, MMAOddsBreaker.com.
Welcome to the Premium Oddscast, presented by Five Dime Sportsbook. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Saturday's Bellator 180 event, which takes place in New York, New York. If you're unfamiliar with our format, myself and Nick will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Looking back at our last event, we lost 1.3 units for UFC Fight Night 111 after going 0-1 on our premium bets. We also lost our one-unit free bet. Back to the present, Bellator 180 features a 14-fight card with fights airing on Spike and pay-per-view this Saturday night. But we will only be covering the 8 fights which have betting lines. Let's dive right in. And just a disclaimer, guys, we recorded all 21 fights for Bellator and UFC in a row, the breakdowns, and when I went to go add them to the podcast, all of Nick's parts were completely silent, so we had to go re-record all of Nick's parts, so if he sounds a little rushed, it's because he's a trooper and he basically broke down 21 fights twice in a row. Now, kicking things off, on the Bellator.com preliminary card, we have a welterweight fight between Ryan Couture, who is 10-5, and Chaim Gozelli, who is 7-3. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Couture -705, the comeback on Gozelli at +435. Right now, over at Five Dimes, our sponsored sportsbook, 5dimes.eu. The current price is actually -500 for Ryan Couture, and the comeback in Gozelli is at +400. So line margins have tightened up a little bit, but there has been a little bit more action coming in on the underdog. I don't think it's going to be that drastic or a huge decision for the sportsbooks. And the way these guys match up, really what you need to know in this fight is Gozali's 43 years old. He's one of these veterans that have been around the sport for a long time, mainly a jiu-jitsu practitioner that has world-class jiu-jitsu experience. And he's definitely nobody to take lightly on the ground, but overall, I mean, again, he's 43 years old and he's facing a younger Couture, even though Couture at age 34, I think his best days are already past it, even though in MMA years he could be a little bit younger than that or whatnot with only 15 fights in his career. Still, Couture's taken a beating recently as well. He just recently got submitted. So he's not exactly in the peak of his career, but he still has enough left in the tank at this point. He is much better, I think, striking than Gozelli on the feet. He's much better, honestly, in the wrestling department. And I think Couture has a good shot of actually submitting Gozelli as well. So wherever this fight takes place, what it comes down to is Couture is the better fighter. That's why I opened him so high. And it would be quite an upset in my mind if Gozali's able to catch that submission over Couture. That's the only area Couture really needs to be cautious about is the floor. Make sure you don't leave a leg in where you're not supposed to if you're doing the ground battle with this guy. Outside of that, it's really his fight to win or lose. So I'm fairly confident Couture will probably get the victory here. So my pick is Ryan Couture.
Basically, this fight boils down to whether or not Ryan Couture is comfortable going to the ground and whether or not Ryan Couture makes mistakes if he does go to the ground. But overall, I mean, Couture's not a great striker, but he should have a pretty good advantage on the feet against Gozelli. I mean, Gozelli is really getting up there in years. So this is a very, very winnable fight for Couture. He's quicker. He should be a little bit more athletic. And he's got more MMA experience, although Gozelli is definitely more experienced in the grappling realm. So it just all boils down to if Couture feels comfortable standing and trading for 3 straight rounds, which would probably win him a decision, or if he feels like challenging himself and getting some takedowns and working from top position without getting swept or submitted. But overall, it's about what Ryan Couture is going to dictate, because I don't see Gozelli getting takedowns. I don't see him forcing the issue in any specific department unless it's on the ground and then he's able to get something going. but I think Couture has to get it to the ground first. I don't see Ghazali being the one getting it there. So overall, you got to side with Ryan Couture here. I know Ryan hasn't had the best run of luck in Bellator, but I think this is a very winnable fight for him. So I'm going to side with him. Now moving on to the Spike TV portion of the preliminary card, we have Naaman Gracie, who is 5-0, taking on Dave Marfone, who is 5-2. Now, Nick, what's the MMA odds makers perspective on this one?
Up in Gracie, minus 900, the comeback on Marfone at plus 500. Right now, looking over at 5dimes.eu, it's currently Gracie minus 1,000. The comeback on Marfone is at plus 650. So line margins have tightened up a little bit, and a little bit more action coming in Gracie's way. People aren't hesitating to lay that 900. I'm sure people are still throwing them in parlays as well. Really, I can't deny that it should be an easy win for Gracie here. The way this fight matches up for him, I mean, obviously we all know what the Gracies are known for, their jiu-jitsu skills. But in this matchup for Gracie, Marfone is actually not the strongest striker either. And he prefers to take the fight to the floor and utilizes wrestling, utilizes ground and pound, and try to finish people on the ground. On the feet, Marfone is very hesitant. I mean, he does have a little bit of power because he's physically strong and has that kind of wrestler's build. But the truth is, he doesn't really want to engage too much on the feet. I mean, he kind of backpedals and at times faints away from actually striking exchanges. So even on the feet, Gracie here is going to have an advantage, I think, because he's going to be a little bit more carefree. I think he's going to be able to land on Marfone if it does take place on the feet. And if Marfone does go for the takedown, then it's going to be not a good idea either. It's going to fall right into Gracie's game plan, and Gracie is a much better submission artist than Marfone as well. So I think Gracie can sub him. So this fight, you're seeing Gracie at such a high favorite for a good reason. I would be very surprised if Marfone could pull this off. I think Gracie goes to 6-0, and they continue to push him a little bit here. I mean, that's exactly what Bellator is doing here. I mean, they're obviously feeding Gracie a person that he can pretty much destroy, the submit, finish fairly easy, and then just kind of keep on pushing him up the ladder and building hype on him. So I expect the hype to be real, at least on this fight. I think he does put away Marfone, and probably by submission. If not, I wouldn't be surprised if he even knocks him out. So my pick is Gracie to win.
Yeah, plain and simple. Gracie is so much better than Marfone. Marfone, as Nick mentioned, has an atrocious chin, so Gracie should be comfortable in the stand-up portion, even though he's not a very comfortable striker. And then Marfone likes to get fights to the floor, which is Gracie's world. So overall, I just don't see a lot of opportunities here for Marfone to get anything going whatsoever. I mean, maybe he could get top position and avoid submissions and ride this out, but that is so far beyond the realm of possibility. I mean, Gracie's a minus 1,000 favorite right now for a reason. I expect that he doesn't just win. He wins by finish, probably in the first round. So my pick is going to be Naaman Gracie. Now, dropping down to the featherweight division, we have James Gallagher, who is 6-0, taking on Chinzo Machida, who is 5-2. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
This is an awesome fight. I'm really looking forward to it. I opened Gallagher minus 185, the comeback on Machida at plus 145. Right now, at the time of the recording, it's Gallagher minus 225 at 5 dimes, and Machida's at plus 185. So a little bit more support coming in Gallagher's way. I understand that. I mean, Gallagher's the younger fighter. I mean, he's 20 years younger, for crying out loud. So the hype is there for him. He's Conor McGregor's teammate, training at SBG in Ireland. The guy has some skill for sure. He's coming off of an impressive submission win in Bellator in his last fight. Although, at times, Gallagher hasn't really been as impressive as you'd like to see. We're expecting a little bit more from him, to be honest with you. So Gallagher, I think, still getting better. He's still going to improve. And the more he steps in the spotlight and is on these Bellator TV cards, or, you know, potentially maybe even a pay-per-view if Bellator keeps that rolling, Gallagher will get that experience, and he'll only continue to improve. So he's a tough out. He's a well-rounded fighter. Primarily, he likes to take the fight to the ground and utilize his ground skill. He's got a good submission game. He's got good ground and pound to go along with it as well. So that's what he's going to try to do against Machida. But Machida's no slouch. I mean, he's a lot like his brother, other than being 40 years old. By the way, you can kind of almost throw that 40 out the window, though, because he's in great shape. I mean, if you didn't know that he was 40, you would never think he was 40. Physically, he's outstanding. I mean, he still has good cardio. He still has a pretty solid chin from what I gather thus far. And the guy is ultra dangerous on the feet. His karate style, he's able to pick opponents apart. He's good in a clinch. He has dangerous knee attack. He can beat you with head kicks, of course, and he can beat you with his hands. Machida has decent takedown defense, but if any kryptonite in his game, it's just that. I mean, Gallagher might have some success getting Machida to the floor, try and control him and out grapple him there and kind of grind him out a little bit. that's his path to victory. Machida's going to have to stay upright, and he's going to have to deliver some damage to Gallagher, and that's possible as well. So where the odds are right now, it's tough. I wouldn't honestly bet Gallagher over a guy like Machida. It's probably a dog or pass situation, but I'm going to go ahead and pick Gallagher because he is the more well-rounded fighter. I think he is, again, a little bit younger, and I think there's more expectations from him. Machida's just kind of trying to make a late run at things in MMA, and hey, like I said, I can't deny that the guy has been impressive so far with his little resurgence here and taking the sport a lot more serious at his older age of 40. But that being said, I think Gallagher probably finds a way to win this fight, whether it's grinding him out or maybe even catches a submission on the ground. So my slight lean is Gallagher, but it's definitely a dog or pass situation.
And to me, this fight is definitely close and could honestly go either way. Gallagher is still on the rise. He still has a lot of work to do to really round out his game and become, a title threat. And Machida is definitely a great stepping stone for him, but I don't know. I don't really view Machida as a stepping stone. I mean, Chinzo's been on a pretty nice run in his career since he really started getting back into MMA with RFA and those orgs. And I think he's going to provide a really stiff test here for Gallagher. I mean, Chinzo, he's not just winning. I mean, he's been winning in violent fashion lately. And he, as Nick mentioned, he fights a lot like his brother. He's kind of got that karate style. He can mix it up with his hands, with his feet. I know he's 40 years old. He's twice Gallagher's age, which is a huge, huge, difference, but with that difference is comes experience. And, you know, he's been training with his brother his whole career for at least a large majority of it. And Gallagher, I mean, honestly, I think this is by far the stiffest test of his young career. I mean, his last fight, he had a nice performance over Medvedovsky, but that was Medvedovsky's third loss in a row. And that was his toughest fight by a landslide, in my opinion. So now he's taking on an experienced veteran like Chinzo Machida. Man, I can see Machida lighting him up on the feet a bit. I mean, Gallagher has a bit of ability on the feet, but I mean, his biggest strength is on the ground where he's racked up almost all of his victories by submission. So if Gallagher can't get Machida to the ground, I can see Machida winning a stand-up fight. It's three rounds, and if Gallagher can't get takedowns, I can see Chinzo Machida either winning a decision or maybe even knocking him out with like a nasty head kick or something. So I know that all the hype right now is behind Gallagher, but I think he might be getting this fight a little too early in his career, and Chinzo Machida does not fight like a 40-year-old. So I'm actually going to side with Chinzo Machida. Call me crazy, but I think the veteran has a chance to shock the world a little bit on Saturday. Now moving on to the main event of the preliminary card on Spike TV. We have a light heavyweight title fight between Phil Davis, who is 17-3, and Ryan Bader, who is 22-5. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Davis -150, the comeback on Bader at +110. Right now, looking over at Five Dimes, it's Davis -125, the comeback on Bader at +105. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. Only a 5-cent drop on the dog. There is two-way action coming into this fight as well. This is a tough one. I think their first fight was really close. If you have three different judges sitting in those seats, probably could have went Davis's way, but it sided towards Bader. Can't argue the decision either way. I think both these guys deserved, you know, the win. Bader was pretty impressive in that fight. A lot of people were counting him out back then, that's for sure. Bader has gotten better. I mean, so has Davis, though. Since he's been in Bellator, he's torn through Bellator pretty much. I know there was an exception there that the King Mo fight was pretty difficult for him, and a lot of people believe that he possibly should have lost that fight to King Mo, but outside of that, Davis has pretty much ran through everybody he's faced in Bellator. So you got to respect that. Both of these guys are going to put on another hard fat, I think, tough battle that probably does hit the scorecards. I mean, that's what we're going to see here. I think the wrestling neutralizes each other out. I think the stand-up is pretty close. I think Davis has more of a variety. He could throw in kicks from time to time. I think Bader is the better boxer. He can be the more effective striker with his punching power. But I think Davis is also a little bit more durable. So all these things come into play. To me, it is a very close competitive fight. I think what we're going to see here is Davis's durability hanging in there. He might be a little bit more active as the fight plays on throughout five rounds. And I think there's a possibility that Davis could catch that chin of Bader. If anything you could say negative about Bader is, I mean, Davis might not have the punching power to really put him out, but Bader's chin is a little bit suspect. So in a five-round fight, maybe gets caught by a kick along the way or whatnot. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if I seen something like that. But in reality, I think it's going to be a split decision type of fight with Davis basically edging Bader out here. Another awesome fight. I'm looking forward to this one. It should be a really good one. I'm glad they gave Bader a shot right away because all of us pretty much wanted to see this. I mean, these are definitely two of the best light heavyweights in the world, and they're going at it, even if it's in the Bellator cage. So much respect on this matchmaking. But I am going to side with Davis. Tough one to pick, but I have to go his way slightly.
The first time these guys fought, it really came down to the fact that Ryan Bader was the better overall striker. The wrestling was pretty much a wash, and neither guy was able to really get anything going on the ground, and it came down to the stand-up, and Ryan Bader's jab was kind of the deciding factor. I know that Davis was a little bit more active with his kicking game, but Bader just kind of kept that jab in his face, and that's really what has helped Bader win a lot of those kind of ho-hum decisions when he was in the UFC, like against Rashad Evans. I mean, he just kept pumping the jab in Rashad's face, and that helped him win a close decision. So if Bader can keep that jab going, then I think he's going to be in a decent position. Granted, this is a five-round fight, so conditioning will be huge. We haven't really seen Bader go five rounds. Most of the time that he's been in five-round fights, he ends up getting finished before the five rounds are over. So that'll be really interesting to see how Bader performs in a stand-up fight for five rounds if it does stay standing that long. And Phil Davis has shown some improvement in his stand-up. Now, it's not like he's a world beater on the feet or anything, but I did like what I saw in a couple of his fights during that one night tournament where, he took out Francis Carmont on the feet, to win the Grand Prix. And then obviously against Emmanuel Newton, he got him to the floor and submitted him there. So he's looked really good in his Bellator run. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens this time around because unlike the fight against Liam McGeary, which did go all five rounds, so we got to see a bit of Davis's conditioning there. I don't see him getting takedowns for five rounds and just getting top position. So he's going to have to outstrike Bader for five rounds, and I don't know if he can. Bader, as much as Bader's chin is a bit of an issue, his striking, it really isn't. Like, it's come a long way. His head movement's better. His overall boxing is better. His jab is pretty good. He has a good reach, and he's been able to use it. So I don't see this turning into a brawl. And if it just kind of stays as a technical five-round stand-up fight between two guys that are better on the ground than they are on the feet, then I can see Ryan Bader getting a close decision victory and becoming the Bellator light heavyweight champ. So I'm actually going to side with Ryan Bader here and see, and I think he repeats history. Now, moving on to the main card on pay-per-view. First things first, for anyone wondering about the Aaron Pico fight at lightweight, Nick is not releasing odds for that fight. Pico is making his MMA debut as a very talented amateur wrestler, never even had an amateur fight. And he would have been a monster favorite anyway, but he just wants to see what he looks like in a fight first before we start releasing odds on Pico's fights in Bellator. So just for those wondering, you'll get to bet on Pico the next time around. So kicking things off in the Bellator welterweight division for the welterweight title, we have champion Douglas Lima, who is 28-6. Taking on challenger Lorenz Larkin, who is 18-5. Now, Nick, Where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Really looking forward to this fight. In fact, from all the UFC fights and all the Bellator fights that are on this card this weekend, or both cards, I should say, this is probably my favorite fight. You have two of the best strikers going at it in the sport period. I mean, world-class championship-level athletes that are going to be performing well. I think both of these guys bring it every time they step into the cage, and both of these guys are championship-worthy, like I said. So Larkin open minus 170, the comeback on Lima at plus 130. Right now, over five times, you're seeing Larkin at minus 190. The comeback on Lima is at plus 165. So a little bit more love coming in towards Larkin. Not really that surprised. He does have more UFC hype behind him. He's had a lot of success in the UFC, and a lot of people believe that he should have stayed in the UFC on that welterweight roster, and he probably could eventually got a title shot. That's how good and talented this guy is. So Larkin is no easy out. I mean, his versatility on the feet, his speed, his power, it's a thing of beauty to watch him strike. And he's performing against another top-notch, high-level striker, in my opinion, Lima. I mean, Lima is more of a well-rounded fighter because he also brings jiu-jitsu to the table, world-class jiu-jitsu skill. I mean, he can beat you anywhere the fight takes place oftentimes. And his kryptonite in the past has been these wrestlers being able to take him down, control him, and avoid the submission. So in this matchup against Larkin, you basically have striker versus striker. He doesn't really have to worry about that as much. Although I do believe that Larkin will attempt a takedown or two along the way just to maybe win close rounds or whatnot, because I think a lot of this fight is going to be close. So at the current price, I mean, honestly, it could be some value on Lima. I think he's underrated in this matchup. I mean, just look at the wins that he has on his resume over some top-notch competition. In fact, he just redeemed himself over Korshkov, which I feel really is one of the better welterweights in the world as well. And he rebounded nicely and got the knockout win over Korshkov. So that was impressive. Lima has all the skills to make life interesting and rock even Larkin on the feet. I mean, Larkin has been rocked in the past. He's been knocked out. Lima has enough punching power and enough versatility in his own right on the feet that he can definitely catch Larkin along the way. So these guys got to be cautious, got to give each other respect, because either guy can end the fight any moment, really. That's how competitive and close this fight should be. So I think I lean a little bit more towards Larkin as well. I mean, you almost have to, because I think his speed advantage is going to come into play here, and I think he is the better striker out of the two. So I am going to lean his way. I just don't necessarily agree with the line movement. I think that people are disrespecting Lima a little bit too much in this spot. I think Lima could possibly be a live dog in this position here as well, but really the pick has to be Larkin. Again, he's coming in. He's got some momentum behind him. I know he's going to have some confidence, and I think he is the better striker. So I'll slightly lean towards Larkin to win this fight.
To me, this is a battle of power and size against speed and technique. Lorenz Larkin, Douglas Lima, they both actually have similar skill sets on the feet. Both guys have nasty kicks. Both guys have heavy hands. Both guys have power. So it really boils down to what you think is going to have the better chance of happening. And for me, I think Lorenz Larkin's speed is going to play a huge factor in this fight, because while Douglas Lima is a very big, strong fighter, he doesn't really use that size in his fights. He doesn't like shoot for takedowns and then ride out guys and wear them down and force them to carry his weight. He just kind of has that size to have the size. So maybe it helps him with his reach. It helps him with a couple other things. And maybe he can bully guys with those nasty heavy leg kicks. Now, the leg kicks are a thing I'm definitely concerned about in this fight, because when Lorenz Larkin fought Tumenov in the UFC, that was the deciding factor in their fight, was the fact that Tumenov just kept repeatedly landing some heavy leg kicks. And honestly, Lima throws nastier leg kicks. He's finished fights with leg kicks in Bellator. So if Larkin isn't defending those leg kicks, if he's not on his bicycle, then I can see him having some serious issues in this fight. But the other thing is, I think the speed is going to be a huge factor here. Douglas Lima is big and strong, but I think Larkin can work on the outside. I think he can dart in and out, land shots without getting hit back. And that will add up as this fight wears on, especially with it being a 5-round fight. I really favor Lorenz Larkin. It just all comes down to whether or not either guy gets clipped, especially if Larkin gets clipped early, because honestly, I don't think either guy has a great chin, but I think Larkin's is a little bit worse. We've seen him get knocked out. Granted, most of the times he's been hurt and knocked out have been at higher weight classes, but that is something that we've seen happen to him multiple times in the past. And I mean, Lima's been hurt, but I don't think he's ever really been knocked out in a fight. So, if anybody goes down, it might be Larkin, especially early. So I think this fight's going to be great. Lima does have a great ground game, but I don't see how he's able to implement it unless he hurts Larkin first. So, this is going to boil down to who is the better stand-up fighter and who lands those, big shots. So I'm going to side with Lorenz Larkin. I think the speed will play out as a bigger advantage than Lima's size and power. So, Lorenz Larkin is my pick. Now dropping down to the lightweight division for a lightweight title fight, we have Michael Chandler, the champion, who is 16-3, taking on Brent Primus, who is 7-0. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Chandler, minus 565, the comeback on Primus at plus 375. Right now, looking over five dimes, it's 880, minus 880 for Chandler, and the comeback on Primus is at plus 590. So no love, no respect for Primus. I'm not really even that surprised by it, because I think in most people's minds, if you look at Primus, you think, man, the guy was a talented prospect, and all of a sudden he had his big setback in his last couple fights, though, because against Derek Anderson, which is a really good fighter. In fact, Derek Anderson is a very tough out. So I think getting a win, or even a close competitive controversial type of win over a guy like Derek Anderson, is still pretty solid. It's not a bad thing, especially as you're progressing your career and you're climbing up the ranks a little bit. But the last fight against Santos, even though Santos is also a very talented fighter, the last fight that he had with him in Bellator was also a split decision, and he was losing that fight, and a lot of people believed that he should have possibly lost on the scorecards. So not a thing you want to see from a guy coming in to a championship fight against one of the best lightweights in the world, Michael Chandler. I think that's why a lot of people are kind of thinking this is going to be an easy night for Chandler, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as people think, because Primus is a tough guy to get rid of. I mean, he's durable. He has a well-rounded skill set in his own right. I do favor Chandler on the feet. I think Chandler is a better boxer. He's got speed. He's got more punching power. He could definitely put most people's lights out at 155 pounds. So even with the durability that Primus brings to the table here, Chandler wouldn't be shocking if he catches him on the feet. And then as far as wrestling goes, Primus has a decent wrestling background as well, but Chandler out wrestles him here as well. So he has the edge in wrestling. He has the edge on the feet and the submission game. I think it kind of goes back and forth, because Chandler is a very savvy submission guy right now as well to go along. It complements his wrestling very well. We see that time and time again from him. Primus does have a good jiu-jitsu game, so that's probably a bit of a wash there. You might even lean a little bit more towards Primus as far as pure jiu-jitsu skill goes. So it's an uphill battle for Primus. I realize that. I just think that the longer this fight progresses, the longer it goes, Primus might become a problem for Chandler. I mean, I think, again, the durability factor, we don't know if Primus can go five strong. We've seen him go three fairly strong, and I think he had enough left in the gas tank to go possibly another two, but we'll see. With the pace that Chandler's going to push, I mean, that could really change the tone of things. So there's a lot of question marks surrounding Primus, but in my opinion, I mean, dating back to the Will Brooks fights, the Eddie Alvarez fights, there's something up with Chandler that's not the same. I mean, those guys are world-class, obviously, at 155 pounds as well. There's no slouches. There's no shame in losing to those guys. But since that time, I mean, I think that Chandler, he hasn't performed up to par like we're used to. Now he's getting back on track a little bit, so it's not really fair to say that, because he's had some pretty impressive wins as of late, and he's finishing people. So he looks like he's getting back to form, and he's also going, has the ability to go five rounds. I mean, he's coming off of a pretty impressive win over Ben Henderson, even if Henderson's on a bit of a decline in his own right. Still, he went five rounds there, so good signs, I guess, again, for Chandler, and I think he might be finally getting back in his groove, and I'd like to see that, because he's such a talented fighter. But I'm not going to sit here and disrespect Primus like everybody else. I think the line is too high, and I think if the longer this fight takes place, the more people are going to be sweating a little bit, because we never know what the judges are going to say. Even if Chandler wins all five rounds, and we all think that he won all five rounds, and if there are a few of those are competitive, you never know how the judges are going to score this. So it is not a fight that I recommend you putting in parlays at this price or betting straight, obviously. So I would stay away from this fight or even take a small stab at Primus. It's up to you. I do think Chandler's going to win the fight, though. So he is the better fighter. He should win. The line's just getting sick is what I'm trying to get at here. So my pick is Chandler to win, but I'm hoping it's more competitive than the current line indicates.
I'm not nearly as confident that this fight is going to be that close as Nick is. The main thing here is Primus, you know, he's really kind of struggled his way to this undefeated record. And while Chandler definitely had, you know, his moments where things were not going well for him, like with the Will Brooks fights, the Eddie Alvarez rematch. He does seem like he's turned a corner. And one thing you have to say about him is, like, he has way, way, way more experience in five-round fights. I don't think Primus has ever fought a five-round fight, and Chandler's fought about eight of them now, as from competing for the title to defending the title and then challenging for new titles. I mean, pretty much almost all of his last few fights have been title fights, five-round fights that he's had to train for and prepare for. So even though conditioning hasn't been a huge strength for Chandler, just the fact that he's been there and done that in these five-round fights should be huge for him. Chandler should have a major advantage on the feet. He should have a power advantage on the feet. And on the ground, he should have the wrestling advantage. Maybe Primus is a little bit better with conditioning, maybe. But again, he's never fought a five-round fight before, so how much is that really going to help? And then maybe Primus is a little bit better with some submissions, but Chandler has some decent submissions as well. I mean, the guy submitted Eddie Alvarez. The guy submitted Marcin Held. I think his submission game's a little bit underrated. And overall, I just don't think that Primus is on Chandler's level. I think Chandler is stronger. I think he's got more power. I think he's the better wrestler. I just think he wears Primus out and at some point finishes him. I don't think he lets Primus hang around for five rounds and leave some kind of hidden opportunity for him. I think that this fight plays out just like the betting odds indicate, and I think Chandler doesn't just win, but wins convincingly, probably by finish inside the first three rounds. So my pick's going to be Michael Chandler. Now, moving on to the co-main event of the evening, we have a heavyweight contest between Fedor Emelianenko, who is 36-4, and Matt Mitrione, who is 11-5. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I put Mitrione minus 140 to come back on Fedor at even money. Right now, looking over five times, it's Mitrione minus 115, and Fedor is at minus 105. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. There is two-way action coming in on this fight as well. I think a lot of split opinions. Early on, it was Mitrione action coming in. Now we're seeing some Fedor Emelianenko action coming back in as well. Not surprising. I expect this fight to continue to get two-way action as well. Fedor is one of the best all times. A lot of people consider him the greatest fighter in our sports history. And it's hard to argue that. I mean, how dominant he once was in the heavyweight division for not even being a huge heavyweight. I mean, it was just the skill. It was just the mental aspect of the game. It was his ability, his technique, everything about Fedor. He was amazing. In fact, people thought he was once unstoppable in the sport. So that's how fun it was to watch his fights. He used to just go through people. I mean, and the way he went about finishing, I mean, sometimes he'd have to survive some tough moments, but then he'd come out ahead. So he's a legend. He's a warrior. He's one of the best ever for a reason. But it's 2017. We've seen his chin really suffer as of late, as Father Time catches up with us, catches up with all of us. He's 40 years old now. And I think that, I mean, his body, everything is obviously a 40-year-old man, so his chin is getting worse. Maldonado in his last fight was able to rock Fedor and almost knocked him out. In fact, that fight could have been stopped several times in that first round, but obviously the ref let it go on, and he ended up surviving and made it close, and he ended up winning a majority decision, I believe, over Maldonado. So that being said, Mitrione's a different beast. Mitrione is an athletic heavyweight. He's got a ton of punching power, and that's what he does. He knocks people out. So my concern here for Fedor is he's facing a very athletic heavyweight that can put his lights out. I mean, he's going to have a lot more power than Maldonado when he connects, and we've seen Fedor, again, suffer against some knockout losses recently, even before that Maldonado fight that he didn't end up losing. I mean, he got knocked out by Henderson. It's been a few years, of course. Antonio Silva, before that Henderson fight, was able to smash him on the ground as well. So Fedor's eating some big punches, taking some punishment, and he's getting older. I don't know if he's going to be able to survive against a guy like Mitrione. So I'm favoring Mitrione in this fight for a reason. I think that Fedor, sure, could he come out there and just smash him with a big right hand and put him out? I think Fedor has that in him for sure. But I think it's more likely that Mitrione ends up knocking Fedor out, unfortunately. And I don't like to see these legends really go down like they're doing. I mean, I prefer Fedor to kind of stay retired. I understand there's a lot more money to make these days, and his name's still relevant enough. It's a business decision. I get it for all aspects of the game. But at the same time, losing to Mitrione is not really a good thing on your resume either. I mean, if you're past your prime. So we'll see how this plays out. I think Mitrione probably KOs the legend Fedor.
The main thing here is Fedor, I just don't think he's the same fighter that he used to be. I mean, yeah, he had a couple wins near the end of his pre-retirement where they fed him some aging veterans and he was able to get some wins over like Pedro Rizzo and Jeff Monson. But I think Matt Mitrione's a horse of a different color. I mean, this is a guy that was competitive in the UFC and had some quality wins in his career. I mean, the guy knocked out Derek Lewis. So, I mean, he's got some heavy hands. He's a pretty good striker. He's big. He's strong. He comes in a little bit under the heavyweight limit. He's a former NFL player. He's a good athlete. And Fedor, I mean, I still can't get the picture out of my head of that devastating run that he had in Strikeforce where he just kept losing and losing and losing. And then eventually even Dan Henderson was able to knock him out. And now Dan Henderson's retired. I mean, honestly, I was hoping that Fedor would stay retired the last time he did. And that fight against Maldonado was a farce. I mean, seriously, Fedor was on roller skates for the whole first round. And Maldonado, man, he is way smaller than Mitrione. He has less punching power than Mitrione. He is just a lot less, not as strong as Mitrione. I mean, there's just so many things not going for Fedor here. I mean, it would, to me, I think it would be a huge surprise if Fedor wins this fight. I mean, Mitrione can be knocked out. You saw it. Roy Nelson landed a beautiful uppercut against him and took him out. But that was a short notice fight. I think in a regular fight, full notice and everything, I expect Mitrione to connect with something on Fedor. Fedor's chin is not even close to what it used to be. The guy just can't take a punch anymore. I mean, he's a legend. He's had an amazing run in the heavyweight division where he didn't lose for a decade, but his time is up. The game, I think, has passed him by a little bit, and I don't think his chin can withstand one good punch from Matt Mitrione. So if Mitrione lands one good shot, I think Fedor's in huge, huge, huge trouble. So my pick's going to be Matt Mitrione as well. Now, moving on to the main event of the evening, we have Chael Sonnen in a light heavyweight fight. He is 28-15-1, taking on Wanderlei Silva, who is 35-12-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Open Sonnen -150, the comeback on Silva at +110. Right now, looking over at Five Dimes, it's Sonnen -145, the comeback on Silva at +125. So line staying pretty close to the opener. Line merges have tightened up a little bit here, and there is two-way action on this fight as well. Man, what a hard line to set, honestly. I think a lot of people aren't sure what to do with this fight. I mean, you have two guys that are way past it again. We were just talking about Fedor that I don't think he should be fighting. I mean, in the UFC podcast, we talk about BJ Penn not really being able to fight. He shouldn't be fighting these days anymore either. These guys have all accomplished a lot in the sport, and to me, their best days are behind them. So this one is where, in my opinion, the Bellator is pulling the wool over our eyes and is promoting this thing. And I understand from a business perspective, they're still going to get hits. They're still going to get interest. Look at all the media going crazy about this pay-per-view card, about Bellator's pay-per-view card. Well, for me, I'm not that excited. I mean, I do have a ton of respect for these guys, Sonnen, Silva, Fedor, like I said, but it's 2017 and there's a lot of flaws in their games. I mean, they're getting older. That can't be helped. I mean, they're still obviously special athletes for even being able to step back in the cage, but we're not going to see the best of either guy here. Sonnen, unfortunately for him, I mean, you don't know what to expect. He used to be a really dominant wrestler that was able to control and dictate the pace of the fight. He had that warrior spirit, that heart that he would just grind people out in, even in tough situations. He would still utilize his game plan and come away with the win. But these days, I mean, he's losing to Tito Ortiz by submission. I mean, he hasn't looked the same. We've seen some quit in him now. I mean, I'm not trying to disrespect him. I just think that that's kind of the mentality of it. Now, for this fight, I do think that he's taking it a little bit more serious. He has that rivalry with Wanderlei Silva, and I think he does want to win this fight. Not saying he didn't want to win the last, because, of course, all these guys want to step in a cage and win. But I'm saying when the adversity strikes, I mean, you're 40 years old. Are you going to take the easy way out and maybe tap to something you normally wouldn't have tapped in. I think it's very possible for people like this that are going to get paid and don't have much to look forward to. These guys are not going to make a title run, but they can make a little bit more money left, obviously. And all of us, I'm saying all this stuff, and it's going to probably do great with the pay-per-view buys and the records. Vanderlei Silva is another guy, though, that has a big name that he brings to the table that actually has a pretty impressive win in his last fight over Brian Stann, but that's been – I think that fight was in 2013. So it's been a while. He's had his issues with the commissions, obviously, that have been chasing him down because of steroids or whatnot. There's been a lot of personal stuff going on in Vanderlei Silva's life, and he hasn't been competing. I mean, we're not sure what we're going to see from him now. He's 40 years old and he hasn't fought for at least 4 years or so. So he's been out for so long. I don't trust what I see in him either. He's not going to be in tremendous shape. We're not going to see the best of these guys, like I mentioned earlier. So, of course, he always has that knockout power. I don't think he's going to lose all of that. But I think Sonnen probably is going to get him down and possibly finish him on the ground if this fight ends up taking place that way or working out that way. I think it does, more than likely. Sonnen can get the takedowns over Silva. I don't think it lasts too long. I think one of these guys does get finished on the ground, or maybe Silva keeps it on the feet and knocks Sonnen out. I don't expect it to go that long. And again, I'm not really excited about this fight. I mean, they're legends. I do respect them for what it's worth, but to headline a pay-per-view in 2017, I'd rather see, for example, Larkin and Lima be the headliner. I mean, I would rather pay to see that fight than this fight that we're going to see here. But it is what it is. I mean, it's a media circus that people love and they want to see. I mean, for crying out loud, we're getting Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather in boxing. So that tells you what world we're living in 2017. But it's a fight I'm going to watch and I'm going to want to watch. So all that being said, we'll see what happens this weekend. I'm going to pick Sonnen. I'm not confident in it, but I think he probably beats Vanderlei Silva.
Yeah, this is a grudge match that never happened and probably never should happen, but it is happening. I mean, they definitely did have some bad blood dating back to the tough Brazil, but I mean, that time has gone way past at this point. Both guys got popped for steroid stuff. Chael popped for all kinds of things, and Vanderlei got punished really heavily for running away from drug tests that he probably would have failed, almost certainly would have failed. And, you know, they gave him a lifetime ban, but they overturned it, I guess. So, you know, looking at these guys, they don't look like they're in the greatest shape. I think, not taking steroids and fighting in America is going to make this a lot less fun than it would have been if they'd have done it in like Pride era Japan. But, it's happening. It's, like, they really haven't been promoting it that well either. Like, I've been really disappointed with just about everything about it. So overall, man, I mean, how can you really trust either guy? I mean, Chael looked like complete garbage in his fight against Tito, and Tito was able to quickly submit him. Vanderlei hasn't fought in forever. So, I mean, I guess even though Chael looked like complete garbage is better than not looking like anything. So, I guess if they fight, Chael can get the fight to the floor and get top position, maybe work for submissions or get ground and pound in. If Chael eats a lot of shots though, I mean, he, as Nick has says about some fighters, I mean, you can have that quit in you, and Chael definitely, you know, he gives up in fights where he starts to lose. And that's a very distinct possibility here. I mean, the guy just cannot handle the tide turning against him in fights. So, I'm going to side with Chael, but I have zero confidence whatsoever with these guys. Both are past their prime. Both should not be fighting. And this is not the fight on the card that I'm looking forward to. I want to see Lima against Larkin, but and I wish that was the main event, but hopefully people that are tuning in to see this fight are get excited and get to watch a great fight with Lima Larkin. But my pick's going to be Chael Sonnen, and that's about all I got to say about it. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for Bellator 180. Our premium bets for the event will be released this Friday following the weigh-ins, so stay tuned for that if you're an MMA Odds Breaker premium member. If we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at MMA OB Premium on Twitter, because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you of our free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAoddsbreaker.com and we'll add you to our free bet mailing list. Special thanks to our sponsor, Five Dime Sportsbook. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.